God, this is a blessed time that we have together as we dive into your word and just open our ears and our eyes to learn more about you. We just lift up your name. Amen. So tonight I titled my message, Trust. And my thought and focus is going to be on three different aspects of trust.
So I'm going to start out with Psalm 13. If it wants to click over. It's not working again. Oh, there it goes. Now it's probably going to click through like five of them. We'll see. So Psalm 13, you guys want to flip there? To the chief musician, a psalm of David, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Those who trouble may rejoice when I am moved. So, in reading this, David, who is God's chosen, he was the king, he was the anointed one, is in the time of what I would say almost depression, and he's reflecting on all of his emotions and thoughts and feelings. And a lot of times in our life, there's situations that we run into that we start to think this way and we start to feel this way. And one of the images that come to mind, has anyone here ever watched Willy Wonka or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Got to say it right now because they have two different Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So who remembers the scene after the chocolate fountain or after the chocolate waterfall where they get in the boat? Do you guys remember that? So one of my favorite verses or quotes from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is, where is fancy bread, in the heart or in the head? Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. No, that's another. I do love that part, though. That's not what I'm thinking. No, so they're going into the tunnel, and it's getting dark, and all these weird images are posting on the side, and they're going faster and faster and faster, and you see the Oompa Loompas are just going at the wheel, and it's spinning so fast that it's spinning this way, and they're rowing this way, and everyone's freaking out, and Willy Wonka's over there just saying the weirdest stuff. And I wrote it down because I didn't want to mess it up. I have like different parts memorized, but not the whole thing in context. So it says, there's no earthly way of knowing which direction we are going. There's no knowing where we're rowing or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grizzly reaper mowing? Yes, the danger must be growing. For the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing. And in that whole moment, everyone's freaking out, and he's just like adding to the fire of just saying this poem. But what happens? The one guy says, I've had enough, and then they just stop, and they're in front of the inventions room where they get the everlasting Godstopper. But so I just, there's times in my life where that's where I felt like, where I was in that tunnel and it was dark and it was scary and you're just like, you don't know where you're going kind of attitude. So that's why I wanted to deal with trust and talk about trust today. So the first thing I want to talk about with trust is, we'll switch over. Try it again. It doesn't like me. There he goes. Trust the destination. So where were they going? They were going to the invention room where they were going to see all kinds of cool inventions, right? But for us, where are we going? Where's our destination? Ethan?
Heaven.
Heaven. So heaven is our destination. And some scriptures that talk about that. John 14:2. So it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So in heaven, we're going to have a mansion, right? And Christ is right now preparing the mansion for us. So that's the destination that we're going for. Oops, I didn't click that. Did you click that? Sorry. And then Galatians 4:26, it says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And a lot of people are focused on the earthly Jerusalem right now, but as Christians, our focus is the heavenly Jerusalem. And so we have that destination to look forward to. So Corinthians 15:51-55, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then we shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So we have our heavenly mansion, we have the Jerusalem that's above that is free, and we have the incorruptible that we are going to be putting on, and that's our destination. That's so in our lives, as we're going through some of these hard times, we have to focus on and think about and trust the destination that we're going to be in heaven with God. And that's where you get Peter, who in Ephesians talks about he was writing from prison, and Peter's heart and everything about him being in prison wasn't broken, wasn't sad, wasn't, you know, woe is me in the situation that I'm in. And prisons that we have today is not like what prisons were back then. It was, they didn't feed you. If you were getting fed, it was somebody bringing you food. You probably didn't have a nice cushy bed. You know, it was not the same as what you get today. But because Peter was focused on, or Paul as I was, Paul was focused on the destination, he knew where he was going, he could survive or live through or not be dismayed by the situation that he was in the moment. So where's another destination that we have in this life? Not necessarily going to heaven, but in this life. Anybody can think of anyone? We have the destination of our calling. So each one of us is called. We have a calling in our life. Throughout our life, God shows us what that calling is and then brings it through to the end. So it says Ephesians 4:1, Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk forth or walk worthy of the calling which you were called. So we have a destination of our calling. And when God speaks to you about what your calling is, he's going to be faithful to walk you through that calling. So in my life, I remember Pastor Jerry. Some of you may have heard the story already, but when I was probably 16, my brother was going into the Air Force, and we went to the swearing-in in the federal building in, I think, Rochester or Syracuse. It could have been Syracuse. And Pastor G came, and we watched my brother get sworn in, and we were kind of all hanging out afterwards, because then he gets, like, shipped to boot camp. Like, you don't see him anymore. It's sworn in, pff, gone. And Pastor G turns to me and goes, I think you should be a pastor. And I'm like, I think you're crazy. I was 16. I got in my car, left the church, and went to another church because I had friends that I grew up with that attended that church. So I was going just to go hang out with my friends. And the pastor at that church and the assistant pastor, so the pastor had came to me and said, you know, I would like to raise you up to be the assistant pastor underneath the assistant pastor now, who was going to take my place at some point in time. Of course, I wasn't even really, I was just hanging out with my friends, not paying attention. I was like, yeah, okay. So, and then years go by, don't give it a second thought. And when I was in corrections, I had a friend who was, he was a counselor on one of the units, and he was going through a program of the Assemblies of God, and he was doing home study, and that's when it first started, like, oh, maybe I could do some home study and, you know, start working towards, you know, maybe teaching or something of that nature, or, you know, be a godly counselor. And so eventually I started really wanting, that started to really catch hold, and I really wanted to pursue this calling, and I called or texted or had meetings with, I want to say, like, 8 or 9 pastors. I started, like, looking through my phone of pastors that I knew, and I'm, like, kind of surprised at how many pastors I knew. And so I asked them all for advice, and it came down to, you know, I felt like the pastor of my church, the pastor who was the head pastor of that church that had left, that was a mentor in my life, both kind of gave me a, you probably should find a pastor who's willing to raise you up and teach you. And Pastor G was like, well, you know, if you're coming to my church, I'd have you come to the Tuesday classes. And I was like, all right, now I'm going to the Tuesday classes. So, but it's just interesting how all of those steps where Pastor G was the first one that, you know, spoke into my life, the calling, and then how God brought it through to now I'm here teaching you guys. So just that the calling is a destination, and when we're in dark moments, it's good to remember God has us. He has a purpose for us. He has a calling. He put it in your life, and he's going to walk you through that. So, and what would be another destination that we have? Anybody? It's a verse that we talk about on a pretty regular basis. I can almost promise you that last Sunday, I think it was mentioned. Anyone think? Next destination that we have? The good. To the good. And the verse is, and we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we have a destination of to the good, that God is going to work all things out to the good of our lives. So that destination, eventually, something that's hard in your life right now, is going to work out to your betterment under God's promise. When I wrote to the good, I was quoting it from the verse, and it kind of reminded me of, I don't know, has anyone seen The Princess Bride? And so he's laying on the bed, can't move any of his body, and the guy walks in and he says, to the death, and he's like, no, to the pain. So then I wrote to the good, and I was like, oh, and that's kind of like Princess Bride. But so the next thing that we are looking for is the trust the ship. So what's the ship? Can anyone think of what the ship is? If the destination was heaven, you go too fast. Huh? The earth? Oh.
Church.
The church? The body? So let's go. I would say that Christ, us being in Christ, is the ship, and the faith that we have is the ship. So 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that the right? In Christ, sorry. And then Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, but as a gift of God. So we are in Christ. And not only are we in Christ, but, and I didn't write this scripture down, but we are in the body. If 1 Corinthians 12 talks about us being in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is all of the church. So you go ahead and click. The next thing that I think the ship is, which is in Christ, is the ark. And the reason why I say this is, go ahead and click the next. So in Genesis 8:4, it says, then the ark rested in the seventh month of the seventh day of the month on the Mount of Ararat. So it gives a very specific day and time. And anytime the scripture gives detail like this, I always kind of be like, why is that there? Why is it so descriptive, given an exact month and date? So in Exodus 12:2, we see, this month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. So in Exodus 12, the month that they were in was the month of Nisan. Nisan was the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. So in Genesis, the ark rested on the mountain on the 17th day of the month of Nisan. So then in Exodus 12:6, we see, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it at twilight." So that's talking about the Passover lamb. So in Passover, on the 14th, the Passover was sacrificed to God. What's 3 days after the 14th? The 17th? So what happened 3 days after Christ was sacrificed? He rose from the dead. So the day that Christ rose from the dead, the 17th of the month of Nisan, was the day that he rose from the dead, and the day that the ark, after the judgment of man, rested on the mountain, allowing the Noah and his kids to come out of the ark. So that's, well, sorry. But so yeah, so that's a really cool picture that all the way from Genesis, you see the picture of the ark resting on the mountain. God changes the date to the Israelites, making the Passover the first day of the month, or the first month of the year, but that was the seventh month to them, and the same time, the 17th. So you have, if you look at the whole picture, on the 10th, they were supposed to pick the lamb, so everyone would choose the lamb that they were going to sacrifice and put it away, or put it aside for 4 days. On Sunday, Christ walks into the temple and kicks out the money changers. That's the triumphant entry where he rides in on a donkey. That's the 10th. The 14th, he is then sacrificed as the lamb. On the 15th is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Christ is put into the tomb as the unleavened bread. On the 16th, the Sabbath, Christ's resting in the tomb. And then on the 17th, Scripture says that the Sabbath after Passover marked when the Feast of First Fruits would happen. It would happen the next day after the Sabbath that passed the Passover. So on the 17th was the Feast of First Fruits, and Christ is the first fruits of those who rose from the dead. So it like all shows a lining up of each feast being, or each part of that feast being marked with Christ. So the next thing we need to do is we need to trust the captain. Who's the captain? God. So it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So if our captain is the person who created the heavens and the earth, how powerful is our captain? Huh? Pretty powerful, right? So, and then in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own trust or understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So we're called to trust on God. And how many people in the midst of, when they're in that super dark moment, do they trust, do they understand the power and who God is? You know, so as we're in that moment, we need to step back. And as Josh was saying on Sunday, we need to focus on Christ. And when we focus on Christ, all that other stuff kind of doesn't seem really that big or important, or, you know, because we're supposed to trust in God and lean in, not on our own understanding. You want to click to the next. And then Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things that work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So again, God's going to, we know the captain has our good intentions in mind. It's kind of like a parent who has to take the kid to the doctors, and the doctor is going to have to do a procedure. How many kids want to go through a procedure? Do you like going to the doctors and getting poked and prodded, Ethan? Not really. Not really. I know I'm deathly scared of needles. And anytime I have to have anything done with needles, it's like kicking and screaming, scratching at the doorpost as I'm getting pulled into the doctors to get the thing done. But in the end, the doctor's trying to do it for the betterment of you, or at least we hope that some doctors, you kind of wonder sometimes, but for God, we know who God is. We know that he's going to work for the good of us. So it's important to keep that in mind and to focus on who God is and focus on Christ when we're in the middle of those dark times. But hold on a second before. One thing that we need to keep in mind is because we know the destination, we have the roadmap, we have the Bible, what's going to happen? What's coming down the pipeline? Anybody? What is the world going to face soon?
Judgment.
So we're barreling towards and have been barreling towards the Great Tribulation. And Jesus and the disciples told us it's going to come like a thief in the night, right? Like, we don't know the time and when it's going to come, and we need to act as if it's going to happen any second. And prior to the Great Tribulation coming, now you can flip it to the next, Mark talks about it, says, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles, and these are the beginning of sorrows. So Scripture tells us that it's going to get worse. And a lot of times, like, we kind of see how it is right now, and we feel a certain way about it, and we think it's already bad, but we know it's going to get worse. And if we're not focused on the destination, if we're not focused on the ship, and if we're not focused on the captain, God, then all of that is going to just be a weight on our shoulders that we don't need to and shouldn't have to bear. And if you think about that time frame that we're, if we are going to go through it, or whoever generation is going to go through it, that it's going to get that much worse, that like some of the things that we're dealing with today that we might think is really bad might not be as bad as we think that it could be, or because imagine going through that same thing with the tribulation of the world ending. And so go ahead and click the next. So again, trust the destination, trust the ship, trust the captain, God. I think that's all I got, right? So yeah.